To this time of the year, and like every single year, you know, thank God for seasons. Amen. Thank God for seasons. Thanks God. He always brings us around to a time of remembrance. God's full of remembrances in the Scripture. He always brings us to places where we remember. You know, He gave the feasts so that you would annually remember all of the things that He did. And so we thank God that He, every year, we come around to this, you know, where people remember Santa Claus and people remember, you know, gift giving and things of that nature. But what they do remember is love. They remember love. They remember loving one another. Amen? That's really, you know, what God wants you to, that's a good start. That's a helpful start, is showing love, showing kindness, but then having everything stop, really, because this is the time when all over the world, people understand that the whole world stops to know Jesus. The whole world stops to know Christmas. Isn't that Santa Claus, you know? No, but the whole world still stops. Whether you stop for Santa Claus, you know, or whether you stop for whatever you stop for gift giving, or you stop for having a family meal and all of your family ends up getting together. All of these things became because of Jesus. Thank God for all the advertising. Yeah, amen? Thank God for all the advertising that says, Happy Holidays. Stop. Thank God for that, because it gives us an opportunity. It gives you and me an opportunity to share Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, more so than any other time during the year, more so than any other time, you have the opportunity to say, you know what? Do you know why we celebrate this? Do you know why this time of year is important? You know, it's not because Jesus was born in the snow. You know, He wasn't. But it's because Jesus was born. There was a bunch of angels that came down, and they sang and they declared that Jesus Christ is here. He has arrived. He has come into the world. The three shepherds, might have been five. Who knows? You don't know how many shepherds. There were shepherds watching their flocks in the field by night. So this is what He's doing. He's coming, and He's having a wonderful, God is opening a door every year for us to declare His grace and His mercy. Amen? So thank God for that. I'm thrilled about that, because we get to bust in on everybody's parade. Amen? We get to bust in on everybody's parade to say that our God is God. Amen. How many know our God is God? Amen. You know? I always love that line from the Ten Commandments. You know, Yul Brynner. You know, and he of course, you know, we know the Pharaoh got wiped out, you know, in the ocean. You know, but of course, you know, Yul Brynner had a better contract, so he didn't get killed. So, but his last line is, "His God is God."
Amen.
Go back and watch it. You know, I know it's not the right season, but you know, His God is God. And that's what people can say today, you know, is that Raul's God is God.
Amen.
Because we go and we tell people that Jesus Christ died for you. Nobody else died for you and rose again for you. But Jesus came for that reason. He came for that purpose. And you can enjoy that because you are now, you're on His team. You're on his bandwagon. You are now declaring that same Jesus. You know, you have joy on your face. When Judah's down at school, you know, he's got a joy that is born of Jesus. Amen. And, you know, whether he's saying something every day, there's something in you. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You know, salt doesn't try to be salt, does it? You know? Yeah. woo, salty, you know. Yeah, or oh, whoa, you know, light. Lights are pretty bright in here today. Is that you are the light of the world. So when you walk out the door, everybody sees you. Now, I'm giving this stuff to you to meditate on, you know, amen. And I know you do. And I know you do. It's just an encouragement for you to meditate. Yeah, Will.
A man with an argument is no match for a man with a testimony.
Amen. Amen. That's right. A man with an argument is no match for a man with a testimony.
I love that.
Amen. That is you. That is who you are.
You talked about bringing stuff to remembrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my time this morning, I was reminded of a time when I went to Cofield, you know, and I was going to classification. As soon as I walked in the doors, a lieutenant said, "Welcome to hell." And, Cofield is one of those prisons that nobody wants to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, and I went into classification, and the major said, I don't remember how he said, but he said, "I'm not going to send you to closed custody where, with your classification, that's where you belong." He said, "Because you might not ever come back out." And he said, "So I'm going to put you in population." And I really never thought of that past really that time.
Mm.
But at that point, God made a change in my life and put me in. And I mean, population is bad too, but oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine what he changed in my life at that point. And I just recognize, you know, God is always with us from the minute we're born.
Yes.
And he's changed different paths in our life to, you know, even though we screw up, he keeps weaving his purpose in our life until he gets what he wants.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for
that. Amen. So powerful.
Amen.
Same thing.
Okay.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I mean, how could you get where you are? I mean, God put you
amazing grace
in places where you are. I don't have a college degree. I got a Bible school degree. And Pastor Jim, I mean, he's three degrees. He's a big old Yale graduate. Why in the world am I walking with him for 40 years? How did God put me with him, you know, to walk in the ministry with in this place for 40 years? How does God do anything? So that remembrance is important. God, Jesus said, "Remember me." He said, "When you eat and drink that bread and the blood and the wine." Or the blood and the bread and what am I saying? The communion. When you're taking the communion, remember me. Remember, what are you doing? It's the point is not taking it as much as remember me.
Hallelujah.
The thief never took it. The thief never took the blood and the bread. You know, the wine and the bread. He never took it. Didn't even get baptized. Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus, remember me, because he asked Jesus to remember him.
Yeah.
Remember what he said? Jesus, by the way, we're all dying. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here in about 10 minutes. Here in about 10 minutes. Remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. And that's, you know, Jesus came as a baby. Jesus came to live life as you did, yet without sin. He came to live life just as we did. John chapter 1. Now, how many know Jesus didn't start in the manger? Jesus did not start in a manger. Well, I thought he just started in a manger. No, Jesus didn't start in a manger. If you read John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, John doesn't even talk about the baby, does he? John doesn't even talk about it. I mean, you go to Luke and go to Matthew and you hear about the baby. John says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, I guess John does eventually talk about the baby in verse 14. But he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." It didn't say, "In the beginning was a baby." He didn't say that. He said, "In the beginning was the Word." And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Wait. We talk about the Word. Then all of a sudden we've got, there's a Him involved. In Him was life. So the Word is a Him. The Word is a Him. In Him was life. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. The light we just talked about. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Now this light has got a gender. Verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's so interesting, isn't it? He made the world, and the world doesn't even know him. You read the book of Genesis and you see that soon after sin came into the world, men just began to do whatever they wanted to do. Men totally forgot about God. Men totally forgot about the fact that they were created and had a relationship with the Lord. That's right. They totally forgot. It's very similar to today, isn't it? It's very similar to today. Nobody has a clue. Because the enemy is a liar. The enemy is a liar. And we have lies and lies upon lies. Is that we do not know. Unless it is revealed to you by God, you don't know. Yet, over in Romans chapter 1, he says, the whole world does know. Everybody knows that God made the world. They just ignore it. They move on. Everybody knows, you know, that the world was not made from things that do appear. But the world was made independently by the living God. Amen? Intelligent design. You know, that's as close as they come. Well, maybe there was some kind of intelligent designer. But we don't have to do anything to be with him. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to listen to him. He's not here anymore. He just started it spinning. But no. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. So God had already... He had already made for himself a people. He had defined for himself a people. And when Jesus came, he came to his own, and his own received him not. They did not receive him. They did not even acknowledge him, because they had already made their own God out of God. Isn't that funny? How people make their own God out of God. They make God in their own image. People make God in their own image. That's why all these other religions are all around, because people make God in their own image. They make a God that they can control. They make a God that they can use to control other people. Isn't that right? But God didn't come to be controlled. He didn't come to give himself to you so you could control somebody else. He came so that you could love like he loves. Jesus came so that you could love people like he loves people. Amen. So Father, today, just lead us and let us be those people who love people the way you love people. Well, I can't love people that way. I hate people. Anybody like that? You know, just I hate people. People are awful. People are nasty. People really wear you out, don't they? People can wear you out. But the fact is that you are a lover like Jesus loved, because the same love of God that dwells in Jesus dwells in you. You are the love of God. Not me, brother. No. Faith alone is not how you feel. It's the fact that you just wake up. You wake up and get out of bed every morning and you love people. I do not. You see, you're trying to talk me out of it. You're trying to talk yourself out of it. No, God, because if you are in Christ Jesus, he loves through you. He loves through you. Amen. Verse 11 in John chapter 1, he said, he came to his own received him not. God, the Father, came through Jesus. I only do what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. That's what Jesus' testimony was, wasn't it? He only said what he heard his Father say and did what he saw his Father do. So we find out that God, Jesus said it later, he said, Philip said, show us the Father and that'd be good enough. Show us the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father himself loveth you.
Well, I like Jesus. He loves me. But that Father, he's, you know, I mean, Jim's got his book. Pastor Jim's got his book.
God is a loving Father and not an angry judge. Amen? I mean, that is a foundation that Jesus said. Not something Pastor Jim came up with. It's a foundation, but it has to be taught. It's the Father loves you. The Father himself loveth you. He loves you. Oh, you know how much the Father loves you? Father, thank you that you love me. You love me. You love me. Now quit looking at stuff going on or not going on, things that happen or don't happen. Have that relationship with God personally, individually, yourself. Is that, Father, I thank you that you love me. Amen?
Amen.
Repeat that to you. Meditate on that. Father, thank you that you love me. You sent Jesus for me. You sent Jesus in this little, why lies he in such mean estate? Well, mean to me means that's awful. It's a mean estate. It's bad situation, bad circumstances. You know, why is Jesus laying in a manger? Why? How come he's not? Chad said it. Why not? How come he's not living in a palace, living in a cushy bed? You know, for a baby. You know, like yours is. I mean, your baby's all laid in pretty cushy circumstances. If they weren't laying in a bale of hay, boy, it's itchy. Can you imagine laying in a bale of hay? That'd be awful. You know, maybe up at the ranch. You know, where Judah's going to work this summer. You know, they have little baby animals that were laying in bales of hay. But usually you don't put babies in bales of hay. Why does he lie in such poor circumstances? All of it was for you. All of it was for you. Everything that he endured was for you. Was for you. He, in fact, to the ultimate, which is his death. His death, because he didn't just die for you, like in your place to step in front of a bullet. He took all of your sin. He just took the power of hell that was against you, and he took it away and gave you life eternal. God has given you life eternal. Now, you want to talk somebody into that, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, somebody who's down on the street, down on their luck, whatever. You know, you want to talk somebody into that. You can't talk them into it. What you do is just tell them the truth. Is that Jesus Christ loves you. You can have eternal life. Well, I don't know, brother. Well, I can't. I'm not going to. It's like Will just said, you know, a man with an argument is always, a man with a testimony is always going to overcome a guy with an argument. I've got a testimony. Jesus loves me. Now, you can argue with me all day long, but I know Jesus. And I know that He loves me. And I know on top of that, that He doesn't only loves me, He loves you. And He loves you, and He's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you. He's going to minister to you. He's going to give you eternal life right this minute. And you're going to enjoy eternal life. Because eternal life isn't about getting an extra milkshake. Eternal life isn't about, you know, getting your every need supplied today. Eternal life starts from the inside. Eternal life starts from the inside of you. It starts from knowing in your knower that God has taken all of your sin away, and you are in the presence of the living God, and He loves you forever. Starting right this minute. Starting right this minute. You can't take it away from me. You can't get it. You can't take it away. Because it's not about something that happened to me that man can take away. My relationship with Jesus is nothing you can take away. I'm constantly walking and living in His presence.
Well, I don't feel that all the time.
No, you don't need to feel anything. It's not about feeling. It's not about, you know, pinch me. It's the fact that I know that whom I have believed, and that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He's good for His promise. And He says, He came to His own, and His own received Him not, because they were looking for something else. They were looking for something. Well, you don't look quite right. Your hair's not, you didn't, your haircut's not quite right. You don't look like us. You know, you're messing up on Saturday, or you're messing up on Sunday. You're doing things that you're not according to our traditions. How many know is He messed up their traditions? Isn't that right? Jesus never broke the law. He just messed up their traditions because they made their traditions out to be God. Verse 12 says, "But as many as did receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." They were born of God. Verse 14, and here it is. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full." Okay, now watch this. "Full of grace and truth." Okay, now look at the beginning of 14. There is a parenthetical phrase in the middle of it, and it starts, "And we beheld His glory." Now read the first line and then the last. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace," and drop to the bottom of the verse, "full of grace and truth." Okay? "So John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This is He of whom I spoke." So here's Jesus walking along that day. "That he that comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." Grace for grace. Now the word "for" there, or some places it's translated "grace upon grace," means actually that we have, and it's going to talk about this in a minute. In fact, let's go ahead and read it before I explain it. Grace for grace, for the law. 17, read that. "For the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Okay, so there in verse 14, he says, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. So that's Jesus. He's full of grace and truth. Then you drop down this, and we have all received of His fullness grace upon grace, or grace for grace. Verse 17 describes it, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, now the word but is actually not in there, it's just added for language. Grace and truth, as we read up in verse 14, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, had the law come? By whom?
Moses.
How did grace and truth come?
Jesus.
Grace for grace. Both of these were gifts. The law was a gift from God. Grace and truth are a gift from God. Grace, the actual word grace is charis. That means gift. That means a gift. So, we had one grace, which has helped us. The law, what does it do? Shows us we have a need. Does the law save you? No. The law doesn't save you. The law exposes your need for a Savior. The law exposes your need for a Savior. Grace and truth saves you. So the law is leading you to Jesus. Moses leads you to Jesus. Moses said, there's another teacher going to come up like me. Hear ye him. Now, Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he has obtained, I'm going to read my own writing, a more excellent ministry. Talk about Jesus. By how much all more also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So grace for grace. One grace replaces another grace. The grace of the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus replaced the grace of the law, which exposed your need for a Savior. So this is a better covenant based on better promises. Why is it better? Because what you can't do, He does. So He says, for law, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Now, over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he's speaking to the serpent, and he's making the first gospel promise. And he says that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, yet the serpent's seed will bruise his heel. So there will be some attack on Jesus, but he's going to bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman, who is Jesus, is going to crush the head of a serpent. So that's the first gospel promise. That's been way back in Genesis. So God had this purpose already arranged and lined up from the foundation of the world. Isn't that powerful? I mean, even before Cain killed Abel, even before that first, you know, I mean, that first murder, God had already made provision for you. He has already made provision for me. Amen? It wasn't just like, okay, scramble. You know, let's scramble to fix this. This was not planned, not intended, or not expected. No, God knew. God knew from the foundation of the world, he had planned. Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain, when? From the foundation of the world. Well, why did he let it happen like that? Why didn't he just keep us all perfect? Then it wouldn't be our the choice that you had to receive his promise. Amen. Whosoever, I know a lot of people believe in Calvinism. You know, it's like, okay, it's fixed. Whatever, you know, you're gonna, you know, God decided you're in, you're out, you're in. Most of y'all, I guess, are in. You're in, because you're sitting here, you know. But I mean, you know, you're in, you're out. Yeah, no. He said, whosoever what? Will, may come. Whosoever will. Amen. So, and whether or not, you know anything is, and God made the people willing. You know, you understand that, right? Is God made the people willing, you know, say to give, you know, when they were given for the tabernacle or given for the temple, you know. He made them willing. And then when they were given too much, he said, hey, God, cut it off. Turn it off. Given too much, we don't have enough room.
The front door says predestination. When you come in and close the door, it says on the back, whomsoever will.
Whomsoever will. And he did. He brought you in. Amen. Because he loved you. He loves you. Amen. What about those other people? What about those other people? Well, what if they're not? Well, keep preaching to them till the last minute. Keep preaching to them till the last minute. What do you know? You don't know anything. You don't know a thing.
Preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right. Preach the gospel to every creature all the time, every day. Don't miss out. Amen. Lord God, let me be a preacher. Lord, let me be a preacher. Let me be a testimony. Let me be a testimony of somebody to bring the gospel to somebody. Amen. Then, of course, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, behold, a virgin shall bear a son, and she shall call his name God with us. God with us. So here in Isaiah, and of course you can read all through Isaiah, and you see all kinds of, we're doing a study in Isaiah there on Wednesday night in the Fort Worth Church. They're doing a study on Isaiah. All those guys, you know, Cooper and Flood, and you know, they're doing all kinds of looking into the book of Isaiah, which has all kinds of the promises of the messianic revelation of Jesus. Amen. And so you want to continue with that. Over in John chapter 6. And you can read this whole story about Jesus and about the blood and about eating his body and his flesh. We won't do that one today. What we will do is look at verse 63. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. That word, the words in that word is the word rhema, which is a spoken word revealed. It's the word of God revealed to you right now. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You go back to John chapter 1. Is that these are the words that Jesus speaks, and they're the words that give life to you. When somebody hears that word, it sparks life on the inside of them. It gives the new birth. These words give the new birth. They bring you out of darkness and into life. Amen. You have that power on the inside of you to tell somebody, and that the power of life, and you can tell them, you know what? I've got the power of life and death in my tongue. And you can show them that scripture, because I've got the, and when I speak to you, you can receive life eternal right now.
Amen.
You don't have to think about it. You don't have to know it. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to sell it. I can speak to you right now and you can receive. If you will receive it right now, you can have eternal life beginning right this second. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to be baptized right this second. You can receive eternal life. I'd encourage you to. But you can have eternal life right now, forever and forever. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And that's why Jesus came in that little manger. That's why Jesus came. He was born. Look over at Luke chapter 2. We'll look at that, you know. Well, that's now we're. I knew we was going to get back down to that Christmas story. Okay, Luke chapter 2. The Bible flops open there every Christmas.
Right.
Luke chapter 2.
So
Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus to all the world, that all the world should be taxed. Boy, you can, even back then they were taxing the whole world. They just didn't have enough, as much world as they thought they did. You know, there's a, they taxed the whole world. Boy, you know, if I'd say that on, you know, some of these news shows, they just do. I've been wanting to do that. I've been wanting to tax the whole world. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And, you know, he said that so that you would know that there was a guy named Cyrenius and there was a country called Syria and there was Caesar Augustus. You know, God just names people and places and things so that you know these things actually happened and when they happened and who they happened to. Do you know that? He actually says these things in the scripture so that you can identify the fact that these things actually took place. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of house and lineage of David, to be taxed. So they had a plan. They had a way that they arranged all this to take place, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So they knew about a guy named Joseph, and they knew about his little girl Mary, who's going to be his wife. And they had them written down on a page. You thought today they had everything, you know, that they had, you know, that they've got it all written down on the computer. Well, they had it written down then. They just had it written down on a different kind of computer. People weren't stupid. They knew how to control people back then just like they do now. They just used different technology. Amen. That's right. There wasn't anything. There's nothing new under the sun. People know how to control you. They knew it then. They know it now. So don't be like, oh, you know, well, you know, well, this has got to be it. You know, could have been it. Could have been it back then. There's plenty of antichrist back in the day. And Joseph went up, and so he did, and went to text with Mary. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and here he is. He arrives. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Very afraid. I mean, these angels were not unscary people. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." So the angel actually spoke to them. To them. Wasn't like they just kind of came into town walking down like the Macy's parade, you know. I mean, he actually stopped and, "Hi, guys, don't be afraid." He said, fear not, for I bring to you. I bring it to you. We're coming here to you guys to bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. If you get out there and tell them. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the baby. We're going to tell you exactly what the baby is going to look like. And you, when you find him, you'll know that we told you the truth. You find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So this whole bunch of guys, nobody was disagreeing. Nobody was saying, I didn't see anything. No, there's all these guys are like, okay, what do we do now? Let's go to Bethlehem and go see this thing that God has revealed to us. Isn't that great? That God revealed it to them? How many things is God revealing to you? God's revealing things to you. He's revealing things to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you every day that I wake up and I'm receiving revelation because I have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of me. Amen? I've got just like that, just like your words are spirit and they are life. So I've got words on the inside of me. The Word become flesh is now on the inside of me. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. Without Him was nothing made that was made. And they'd seen it. And when they had seen it, the baby, they made known, this is verse 17, chapter 2, Luke. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Oh, there was a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They didn't just go see a baby. They actually started preaching. There is a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah. There's a baby. He arrived. We saw him. And they all heard, all they that heard wondered at all those things that were told them by the shepherds. So it began to be noised abroad. Even from the day he was born. Forget the day that John baptized him. Even from the day that that little baby was born in Bethlehem, it began to become known. There was a thing. Amen? They put it up on Facebook or whatever Facebook was back then. You know, they had Facebook back then. It was just a different means of communication, but they had means of communication. They got things out. People found out about things. How many know people found out about things? Do you know people found out about things? Even back when you didn't have a newspaper, even back when you didn't have internet, even back when you didn't have a phone, God made smart people, and smart people figured out how to get things known. You know, we like people to think that we're like, barely communicate, even when people could barely, they knew how to make things known. Amen? They knew how to make things known. They knew how to get the job done. They built a tower to the heaven, so much so that God had to come down and knock and mess up their language because they were communicating so well and so efficiently that they were all going to make the world one world government. It would have been done in a week. I mean, you know, one world government. God slows people down. He says, nothing shall be impossible to them. That's how smart He made you. That's how much understanding, wisdom, and ability that you have. He had to slow you down. He has to slow you down. He has to slow you down because sin will destroy you. That's what's happening right now. Sin is fixing to destroy this place. Have you noticed recently how much craziness is going on? I mean, you know, we've got all kinds of craziness going on. People coming over the border. You're in debt. I mean, I say we're not stupid. You know, I guess it depends. You know how to do stuff, but you sure do know how to spend money you don't have. Amen. I mean, these guys, $34 trillion in debt.
We started to pray.
Huh?
We started to pray.
Yeah, amen. $34 trillion in debt. You know somebody's making money off of that? You know what the interest is? Somebody's making money. Interest. They're making interest. I mean, it's not totally stupid. Somebody's making money off of somebody else. Wish it wasn't Rothschild, wish it was my child. Well, I'd be taken care of in my old age. Amen. Praise God. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She meditated on them. Mary, his mother, she meditated upon these things. She didn't know, you know, she didn't know what it was going to look like. You know, my son's got a 1-year-old baby. Your baby's a little older than one, you know, and you're beginning to see what things are taking place when he is out there, you know, beginning to walk in the things of God. And you're beginning to see that, see. And all of us, you know, as our kids are getting bigger, you know, but you start out with a little baby, and you start out early, and you don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But it takes years to one day at a time, one step at a time. You know, how long it took Judah to get where he's at? One day at a time. One day at a time. Jack, where your kids are. Took them one day at a time. They didn't get nothing extra. It's just one day at a time. You know, I've got 4 kids now that are all of them married. I remember when there's a little bitty, Jordan was sitting at the little window. He's sitting there, cold outside. He was standing there, in the middle of the winter. He was standing in at the dining room window. Well, you know, he's up, married, got three kids. And, but every day, he's now living for Jesus. Amen. And I want you to, every day is a new day for you. Every day you wake up rejoicing. Every day you wake up born again, yes. Born from above, living in Christ Jesus because of this baby. Because of this baby and the life that he lived one day at a time before he became 30. You realize that? He walked before God every day, first of all under his dad. Amen. And he was living every day of his life. 30 years. 30 years is quite a while, isn't it? 30 years is quite a while. He was living 30 years before he even started his ministry. Living with grace and truth. Living before the Father. Amen? A baby. Just a baby. He started out just as a baby. I mean, why didn't he just get like created at 30 years old? Wouldn't that have been more efficient? You know, just so he could, you know, show up and, you know, die for our sins and be done with it. You know, Father, do I have to grow up in a baby body? No, he wanted him to grow. He wanted him to be, he wanted to be like you. He wanted to be like one of us. He wanted to be like one of us. He loves, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Amen. So finally, let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, the salvation of Israel. He's waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. He read Isaiah. He's waiting for it. You know, we know Jesus is coming, so we're waiting for it. We're actively, intensively waiting for it. we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen. He says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for Jesus to come. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Here's the Holy Ghost again, showing up. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's all over this guy.
Right.
He came by the Spirit into the temple that day. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Can you imagine, mama, you know, some old man comes by and grabs the baby out of your hands? Whoa, what are you doing? Don't you know that's the Son of God? Be careful, old man. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Huh? Thought he's a Savior of Jerusalem, Savior of Israel. No, he's a light to actually give light to all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then there was this Anna woman, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So she lived with her husband for 7 years and then she was widowed for 84 years after that. And she had to get married before all, she had to grow up a little bit before that. So she might have been, you know, 13, 14, but then when she got married, plus 7, you know, 13, 7, 21, 20. And then 84 years out, she's over 100 years old.
Only Toledo. Never seen
that. She's a pretty old lady. And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant. That instant. I mean, when the Holy Ghost brought Simeon in, he brought her in too. She came in that instant. That, I love that word. That instant. And gave thanks likewise to the Lord. And spoke to him of all that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. When they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. Father, we just thank you for Jesus, baby Jesus. Thank you for the baby Jesus. Thank you for the first 30 years of baby Jesus. Thank you that he was raised like you and me, Father. Thank you that he was raised by me and my colleagues here with parents and with buddies and friends and a career, things to do, things learned how to do. He heard and saw birds and animals and arguments, fights, family squabbles. Heard everything just like we did. Family divorces. People dying. Sin happening. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he was born and that he lived a life without sin because he was born of God. And he was able to then walk in the love of God and take our sins upon himself and give us eternal life for all who will receive him. So Father, make us able ministers, able ambassadors, that when we speak the word of God and we tell people that they can be born again, they can live eternal life starting right now. You said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Teach all nations, teaching them everything that Jesus taught us. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your life eternal. We give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.